You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
So, here we are at the end of the letter to the Ephesians. There's a church in Ephesus. If you came to the church meeting midweek, you'd have seen a lovely little video that we put together that went through the whole thing in about 6 or 8 minutes from beginning to end. They weren't sure on the American accent, but it got all the points across anyway. And I would never have known when we were preparing this right at the beginning that we'd have finished with a baptism today. So praise God that we've gone through this. Do you praise God for that? I hope you do. So if you're a visitor here this morning and you're wondering what's actually been going on, my genuine prayer is that you will have seen or experienced something of God this morning, something that maybe you've never seen before. Now, you may have come in with all thoughts and preconceptions in your mind what church might be like, probably cold and dusty. It's definitely going to be boring. Has it been boring so far? I certainly hope not. You might even have gone as far as to say something like this: if there was a God, he probably wouldn't be interested in me. Not if he knows what I've done. How many of the people in the room have ever said that? Just look around the room if you think, what's that all about? Because that's most of us in this room. Yeah. One of the things I found since I became a Christian many years ago is actually that God is passionately interested in you and I. In fact, he has been pursuing us our whole lives. And today could be just that time where you've taken out from everything else you ever do and you come and sit in a place and you listen to the word of God and you find out who he really is. And that is my genuine prayer this morning. We've been praying that a lot, haven't we? Absolutely. What does God desire for your life? Maybe this morning you are looking at all of those things that you thought were riches. You've been chasing after these things. And actually you've worked out they're not riches at all. They've been robbing you of everything. For those that came on the Life Explore course, we looked at that generous God. And a generous God, when he gives to us, there is laughter and joy and excitement. But if your God with a small g is money, it's a ruthless God. It demands everything from you. There's not too many people in this room, I imagine, when they get their pay packet, go, look at my pay packet. You look and you go, really? All of that, and that's all I've got. Money's a ruthless God, but the God that we worship here this morning, the God that Adrian has turned to, is a generous God, a loving God. He's passionate. He pursues us even through those dark times. And that's your testimony this morning. Today, we've all had the privilege to witness what God can do. I loved it in your testimony. I've turned around 180 degrees, going from my own way and actually going after something so much more, going after God's promises on your life. Now, for a lot of you here, you've heard Adrian's testimony. And I think there's a few people in the room know him really well. Like really well. You've seen all the dark bits as well. And you cannot deny the change. But the change happened inside. And that's what our prayer was when we were on our knees. And what you've seen today is testimony on the outside. Even the haircut. It's fantastic. The wet looks good. But that's what we've seen today. That 180 degrees turnaround, you are going after God's promises. And just to give you a little bit of context in that, what we've been doing as church, when we were in Ephesians 3, I was really challenged that we should write everybody's name on a piece of paper. And everybody's name was on a little strip, and we put them out in the back room where you're going to have your lunch in a minute. And they were face up so we could read everybody's names. And as it said in Ephesians 3, we were on our knees, those that were able, and we prayed for everybody by name. And then we turned that piece of paper over. And our prayer was exactly what it says, that that innermost being would change. Let me read you this prayer. This is what we prayed. It's from Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, if you want to flick back a few pages. It says this, Ephesians 3:14. For this reason I kneel before the Father. That's what we did, because it says it in the Bible. From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Do you get that? I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. We put those people's names in there. And we also pray this. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. What a prayer. What a prayer. And basically, that's what we did. There were no fireworks. We probably looked at each other for those that were there, and we agreed it was a good thing to do, didn't we? Did we know something was shifting in the heavenlies? Did we know that the Spirit of God was working, particularly in Adrian's life? We had no idea. And when you turned up, I wasn't sure if you wanted to be here, whether you were bored, whether you wanted to punch me. I didn't know. It could have been any of those things. He's not that sort of man. But I didn't know. But after we spoke, you said to me a couple of words that I just picked up on. You said lots, but you said it was like I was being changed on the inside. Well, look what we prayed. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That Spirit was at work in all of those names. So be careful, because we put all of your names on there. What is God going to do? And we don't know, but we're obedient in that. And you've been obedient in baptism this morning. You've talked about the wasted years, those times that were dark. You've heard the prayers this morning. People have prayed that over you. That cycle is broken. Look, if you're listening to this morning and you want that rest, that love, that restoration, that fulfillment, I believe God gives that to you now, freely. It's a gift. He gives it to you, and it's yours to take. Do you want to take it? Who watches X Factor? You know, no one's admitting to it. Okay, one is. Do you know what the golden buzzer is? Do you get the golden buzzer? That's X Factor, isn't it? Well, they do the act. Britain's Got Talent, is it? I know it well, you see. I watch them all. So Britain's Got Talent, then. It's far more classy. Yeah, of course. Yeah. There's a golden buzzer. And of course, they go and do their act, don't they? Golden buzzer, straight through to the final. Do you know, I think that's what God is offering this morning. Got that golden buzzer. He's already pushing it for you. You can go from here, where you are right now, straight to that place with him, that eternal rest this morning. But you've got to do one thing. You've got to repent. You've got to turn your life around. 180 degrees. No more judging. Straight to his story. So we're looking at prayer this morning, and it says keep praying. Who thinks prayer is boring? You're allowed to admit it. Yeah? Because you see, I thought prayer was boring. You know what I mean? Sitting there in a room all quiet. What, 5 minute prayer meeting? You've got to be joking. I'll never last 5 minutes. Yeah? Does that mean? I tell you what, if you're seeing what this sort of prayer does, who think prayer's exciting now? Yeah, hallelujah. This is exciting stuff. So what does our Bible reading have to say to each and every one of us today? It starts with the word and. So if you go back into there, Ephesians 6, verse 18, it starts with the word and. And for those that weren't here last week, our passage this morning follows on from a command from Paul to put on the full armor of God. I think you've got some pictures up there, haven't you, for me, Morris? The full armor of God. Armor of God. Do you recognize this fella? Can you see who that is? You haven't got your glasses on this morning. You're in disguise. So Adrian was here last week, and he put on the full armor of God. And as we heard, there was each piece of that armor. If you click the button again, hopefully you can see all the bits that we dressed him up with there. We had the belt, the shield, the helmet, the breastplate, and the shoes as well. Now, we can understand those things in the physical world, and you looked very fitting. I think the helmet was a little bit on the large side, but never mind. It's because you had your hair cut. That's what went wrong. But there is a spiritual battle. And as we looked at last week, there is a spiritual battle that's going on. And I think each and every one of us know that. We've experienced those times where things just come along and seem to get the hold of us. But Paul writes, doesn't he? If you can remember back a few things, Paul writes that the belt is like the truth of God's word. It holds everything together. That shield of faith is used to deflect the lies. And we spoke about handling our shield well, didn't we? The devil whispers all sorts of things in our ears. You might have something whispering in your ear this morning saying it's all a load of rubbish, this. Do you know what? That shield, put it up. Say, hang on a minute. I want to have a listen to this morning. Now, at the end of the service last week, my wife, Nikki, felt that God was saying something. And throughout this week, it's burdened me and it's burdened you. And it felt a shame that Nikki didn't come and share what she felt God was saying. We don't know who it's for, but it might speak to somebody this morning. So do you just want to come and briefly share what you said briefly? It was the answer, no.
Yes, when Darren got to the part where he was talking about the shoes, which are your feet fitted with readiness for the gospel of peace, I had going through my mind a scenario that quite often happens in our house on a school morning when the children will say, can I play on such and such a game, or can I watch something? And I'll say, if you're completely ready, you can. So they'll rush down their breakfast and they'll come down and say, I've done my hair, washed my face, brushed my teeth. And then they'll play on the game, and just as we're going out of the door, they'll be saying, where are my shoes? And I'll say, you're not completely ready. And this was going through my mind, and I didn't want to say at the time because I hadn't really followed through what that might mean, and I knew God was speaking to me, but I also felt he was speaking to somebody else about being ready and having the full armour on. Without shoes, a soldier could be crippled by what they tread on, which at best means they can't move forward, and at worst they could be toppled by the enemy. And I was just thinking the gospel of peace is a strange piece of armour when you're in a war zone. So just very briefly, I thought, well, if we truly know the gospel of peace, that will mean assurance in what we believe. That means we can stand firm on some of the things that we've heard earlier because we believe that for ourselves. We'll have the boldness to proclaim the gospel of good news, which means we can move forward and share. The Bible says in Romans 10, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, so we shouldn't keep it to ourselves. And finally, we can have a life without fear, which is what I think spoke to me and what I felt somebody else needed to hear. That John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So shoes allow us to step freely without fear and give our full attention to the battle around us. So I just wanted to remind people to put their shoes on.
Did you get that? Put your shoes on. I don't know if that speaks to you. Certainly it's a lovely picture in our household. Of course I'm ready. Where's my shoes? Every time. Are we like that though? If that speaks to you this morning, I pray just take that and maybe ask God what that means. So going back to our passage, it starts with this word and. So we've got the armour of God on, we're ready for battle, and what is it? Pray. And pray. Hey, hang on a minute, I've got all this stuff on, I'm ready to go, and you're asking me to pray. Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now, I don't know if that surprises you, but we've got all this armor ready to go, and then we're called to pray. What do you reckon? Do you think that's odd? Stunned silence. I genuinely thought it was odd. I thought, right, come on, let's get up. We're going to go and sort the world out. Let's go and make our peace with the world. Let's go and sort out those people and sort out those people. I'm ready for battle. I am. Look at all my gear. And now, hang on, pray. Turn back a page. It might be a page or flick in your tablets to 5:18, Ephesians 5:18. It says, do not or don't fill yourself up with wine. Getting drunk will lead to wild living. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you can remember what we said when we were in Ephesians there, but we were saying we're being called to continually be filled or to have our lives directed by the Holy Spirit. For many of us here, we're either blind to or we have that self-belief that in and of our natural selves, we can stand against these supernatural powers. But the Bible says we're actually already defeated, or if not, we're going to soon feel that way, to that point where we then disengage our mind and we just think we're going on fine, don't we? We cannot stand against these unseen things in our own strength. So just take a moment to think. Do you feel like you're completely in a safe and blessed place at the moment? If you could chosen your life to work out to be anything that you thought it was going to be, did you think it was going to be this? And for some in the room, I think you're going to say no. No, this isn't what I wanted at all. This isn't where I wanted to be. This isn't how I thought it was going to be working out. And I'm being robbed of all sorts of things in my life. But it's all right. It's Sunday. I've got my Sunday face on. Everything's fine with me. Look at my Sunday face. But actually, I'm dying inside. And I'll put all the smiles on, but it hurts. Adrian's testimony, your testimony this morning, speaks about a life which is now under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And through God, hard times are going to come, aren't they? Absolutely. Are you going to get any doubts? Absolutely you are. Let me tell you, you are. You are going to get doubts. Remember what we said last week, the devil's broadsword, that doubt and fear. You know what I mean? He's going to come and smash you around the head with that broadsword. But are you defeated? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And if you don't know why, come and speak to him afterwards, because he's absolutely bursting and glowing at the moment. So what about us all here today? How can this verse from the Bible actually help us? Well, prayer's not to be underestimated, because that's what we've been doing. There's some late night prayer. We pray before the service. It's not a sappy thing that people do. And I like this. It's the very air that keeps those clothed in heavenly armor alive. Yeah, so prayer is that very air that we breathe that keeps us alive. So if you're not feeling like you're breathing correctly, then maybe you've stopped praying. Our call here is to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. That's what it says, pray in the Spirit. We literally need to let the Spirit be the atmosphere in which we pray. Have a think about that for a moment. Because if the Holy Spirit is the one who we are under the control of and in control of our lives, that's the very atmosphere by which we live, breathe, and pray. John Piper had a nice little quote. I found this one and I thought I'd share it with you because it made me smile. It says, prayer is like a wartime walkie-talkie. You know the walkie-talkies, yeah? Not a domestic intercom. Okay, I chose you and appointed you, Jesus said, that you should go and bear fruit, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. John 15:16. He says, I give you a mission so that your prayers will be fruitful. Prayer is for mission. It is mainly for those on the front lines of war to call into headquarters to send help. And I love this. This is a bit that made me smile. One of the reasons our prayer malfunctions is we treat it like a domestic intercom for calling the butler for another pillow, rather than treating it like a wartime walkie-talkie for calling down the power of the Holy Spirit for battling for souls. I don't know about you. Is that how you think of prayer? Oh, yeah. Can I have another pillow, Lord? Just fluff it up a little bit. Oh, that's much more comfortable. Is that how we pray? Or do we pray like we did on our knees that that person's innermost being might change, that might know the glories of heaven? So we can have a flick around. If you want to flick around in your Bibles, if not, I'll put it up on the screen for you this morning because I'm kind like that. So what else does the Bible say about prayer? Let's have a look at a couple of the other churches he wrote to, because he wrote to the church in Ephesus, but the church in Philippi, Philippians 4:6-7, if you want to have a quick flick. Philippians 4:6-7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love the way the Bible is so literal. It speaks about not being anxious. Why does it speak about not being anxious? Who's anxious? Who here? Yeah, great. Some good, honest people in the room. Most of us are anxious about something, and the Bible knows this. So it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. And it calls us to prayer again. God hears our struggles. He's not going to tell you off. He wants to hear your struggles. For those that are parents here, when your kids come home, you know they've had a bad day, and you say, come on, tell me about it. They go, nope. Oh, go on, I'm sure. Nope. Don't want to talk about it. You know, so maybe over dinner, it might leak out later in the day. God doesn't want us to be like that with him. He wants us to come to him and go, God, these are my struggles. And he says, I want to sort that out for you. If you flick again, Colossians 4. Colossians 4, 2 to 3. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. So like this morning, I want God to give me the right words to say to you, that anything that is a mystery will become life. This is something I believe we're devoted to here at Limbrick Woods. And I know we've got some studies coming up about prayer later on next year. And I'm excited about getting deeper into prayer with God. 1 Thessalonians, if you want to flick, says 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray continually. Wow. Pray continually. Who here has been praying continually for something? I know there's people who have been praying for you for a very, very long time. I've been praying for people for a very, very long time. A friend of mine had a granddad, and he said, when my friend came to faith, his granddad said, you're the first one. He said, I've been praying for 40 years for this family, and you're the first one that's come through. Would you be prepared to pray for 40 years for something to happen? 10 years? How long have we been praying? God hears our prayer, doesn't he? It's amazing. And here we are at the end of Ephesians 6, verse 18. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So prayer, Christianity, all for wimps, yeah? Got their anoraks, haven't they? You can always spot them a mile off. If not, you've got the posh ones because they've got a nice haircut, you know what I mean? And then the super dry or whatever it is. I've got an advert that you can put up for me. What's the next slide? You see, did you remember the Royal Marines advert? It says 99.99% need not apply. Now, I'm not going to tell everybody here not to apply for Christianity. It's open for everybody. But look, it is hard. And actually, if everybody really sold the gospel and the good news in a sense of, like, look, it's going to be really hard, guys, and it's going to cost you this, it's going to be like that, and people are going to hate you, and, oh, it's going to be difficult. Do you want to sign up? You know what I mean? But actually, look, 99.99% of the Royal Marines need not apply. It was one of their best ad campaigns that got more people applying than ever before. But Christianity, following Christ, is difficult. It tells us so in the Bible. You're going to be despised because of me. Ephesians 6, 19 to 20, and I'm drawing towards a close. It says, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And I've said it before, I can't remember which message it was now, but I said church should look more like a hospital than a chapel. Yeah? Church should look more like a hospital than a chapel. And hear me out on this if you're thinking, hang on a minute, no, we need to get this a nice sanctuary, not let anybody in to spoil it. We should be praying for all of those people who have fallen because of temptation. We shouldn't be condemning people. I love these doors to be open for people to come in and to hear the good news. Broken people that hear the message of good news. Our doors should be open to the lost and the downcast, shouldn't they? And if this is a place where it comes in and you've got to put your hands together and be dead quiet because you don't want to upset anybody, that's not what I want. I've prayed for folk and we've got the coffee morning that kicks off. And we've had people come in, broken lives, and we've had a moment to pray with them. Even this last week, Dave, you've got an absolute gift. Just broke into somebody's life that was struggling and said, "You look downcast. What's up?" And they poured out the most amazing story. And we get to walk, even if for a moment, with somebody in desperate times. That's what we want Limbrick Wood to be about, don't we? That's how effective we want our prayers to be. What's an ambassador? Ambassadors are generally granted diplomatic immunity from arrest and imprisonment. And this is a quote from MacDonald here. He says, "But men will tolerate almost anything better than they will tolerate the gospel. No other subject stirs such emotion, arouses such hostility and suspicion, and provokes such persecution." It's true, isn't it? Hi, I'm a Christian. You might as well have just dropped one in a lift. Oh, no, I'm not, didn't say that. Remember, 99.99% need not apply. I've said it already. Following Christ is not easy. It's going to be tough. And certainly this week, we're going to be praying our boots off for you. Because following this obedience is not easy. The enemy wants to get in. But I don't know, is this the message you thought church was all about? Welcome to Limbrick Woods. We love to pray. We want to get our hands spiritually dirty. We want to put those arms around those that are broken. That is what we're here for. We've seen over this last year God's Spirit moving in this place like nothing else. He's drawing lost souls into that wonderful light, his wonderful love. And how much does it cost? It's free. It's his free gift. Absolutely. There's nothing better than free. And the question is, do you want that this morning? Do you want that? Look, it'd be rude not to conclude with a prayer, so I'm going to conclude with a prayer. But I want to encourage us to keep on praying. None of us know what this afternoon's going to bring, what this evening, what tomorrow is going to bring. If any of us are going to be here, there's no guarantees. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says this, right at the end of that verse. It says, "I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." So this is what I'd like to do. I'd like for those that love the Lord to renew that commitment with him. Here we are around the waters of baptism this morning. Let's renew that commitment with him. And maybe for those that have heard the message today, maybe the message for the first time, you think, that is my broken life. I don't want to be heading that way anymore. I can see that route is robbing me of everything. And I want to turn around 180 degrees. I can tell you right here, right now, God will welcome you into his kingdom today. That's how it works. There's no fireworks. There's no background music. We're not going to change the lighting. There's nothing here. This is God reaching into your innermost being and changing that. And when that changes inside, everything changes outside, even your haircut. So there we go, maybe. So look, I want to pray a prayer, and I'm going to read out a few lines. And if you want to say that prayer in your heart this morning, then I'd encourage you to do that. And for those that love the Lord, it's a good time to recommit. So if you want to bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment, we'll just invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us this morning as we close. So you can repeat this in your heart. Father, I know that I've broken your laws. And my sins have separated me from you. I am truly sorry. And now I want to turn away. Turn away from my past sinful life towards you. Please forgive me. and help me avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, that he was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, I invite you to become Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forwards. Please send your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Look, if that's been your prayer this morning, I want to pray with you afterwards. I want this to be a day where you can turn from those things, that God can set you free. Following Jesus will be the best decision anyone can make this morning. Would you agree with that statement? Absolutely. Following Jesus will be the best thing you ever will do in your lifetime. Praise God.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.